Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's March 11th, 2014. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. We've got a great lineup tonight. We've got Wild Beer Company from England and the Women in Beer Sweet Fire Collaboration joining us as well. So it's been a great winter. It's been super cold in New York. There have been days of 10 degrees, and I got a full walk in a beer. And I'm just looking forward to a nice spring. We had New York City Beer Week, and that all got wrapped up. But as you know, many great things happen here at Heritage Radio Network. We're in Roberta's, and just turns out that the last 2 days I've been here, yesterday we had Ron Pattinson from England, and today with John Limbaum from Be United, we've got Andrew Cooper from Wild Beer Company. All right, Andrew, welcome to the show. And Ann Becerra from Ginger Man, Ann Likes Beer. This is the first time I ever pronounced your name right.
You did a great job.
It's usually well Ann Likes Beer. so we're here talking about beers, kicking it off with the Wild Beer Company. John, what beer did you bring us from Wild Beer Company?
Well, we've got three beers from the Wild Beer Company with us today. The first that's in our glasses now is the Wild Beer Somerset Saison, known as the Epic Saison overseas, but Somerset Saison here in the States. Andrew, maybe you can tell us a little bit about the Somerset Saison.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a beer we wanted to make. It was one of our original beers. We wanted to make something that was a bit of a look at the Saison style, but kind of with our own spin on it. So we used a lot of Sriracha Ace hops in there. It's dry, heavily dry hopped with them, and a bit of Columbus. And we're looking for a really dry finish on it, but a big kind of fruit kick from the hops.
And now you're obviously, you guys are known more than anything else for, you know, making some pretty aggressive, pretty interesting, pretty funky, often sour beers using Labrotanomyces, cultivating your own wild yeasts. This beer is, you know, maybe a little more straight ahead, right? I mean, it's no Brett, no lacto, just sort of more about the hops and the grain and sort of the Belgian influence.
Absolutely. It's a pretty simple beer for us. It was one of the beers that we kind of used to get ourselves going whilst we started working on the funky stuff that takes a while to make it happen. This was one of the beers that kind of got us off the ground, got us going, and it's proved very popular, and it's a big part of what we do.
Andrew, let's get a little background. So some notes. You're from, there's towns in Somerset like Batcombe, Westcombe, and Cranmore. And
Do you have a DeLorean?
Yeah, one thing on the web said, you're from the land of the summer people in Somerset. So what's Somerset like? I've seen videos of Julian Temperley, the cider maker, but that's all I know about Somerset.
Okay, so it's a rural county in the southwest of England. It's renowned for its pastures and its orchards, its great cheese making. Cheddar cheese originates from the county, and Somerset cider is kind of world renowned as some of the finest apple growing countries, you know, country in the world. And we've set up a brewery in a very small village where we're on a dairy farm where they make one of the finest cheddars in the world. And so we kind of like to make beers that sort of reflect where we're from a bit, and we like to have an understanding of what it's about to be where we are, and wanted to use the local yeast strains from the orchards and make something that reflected where we are, but is also kind of forward thinking for the UK beer scene. We're probably on a different curve to any other brewery in the UK with a bit of a different approach to beer in general. So we're a bit out there.
You know, Andrew, a couple quick things. You should probably mention the cheddar that's made on the farm where the brewery is located.
Yeah. So West.
Shameless plug, but
yeah, absolutely. Westcombe cheddar is one of the three slow food recognized artisan cheddars in the UK, with that's Montgomery's cool. And Keane's the other two. the kind of world-renowned fantastic cheddars. All the cheddars are aged for over a year, and they're cloth-wrapped, and my God, it's good cheese.
Do you have a favorite beer of yours that pairs best with them?
Yeah, the one that's just gone in your glass.
And excellent segue.
Yeah, we didn't even rehearse.
It's great. I get a lot of this Sriracha Ace, and it's really, really good. Very creamy and fruity. So, it's good beer.
So the beer that's just come around now is a beer that's known as Iduna Crew. And Iduna is the Nordic goddess of apples, and we make this beer with 10% apple juice from local orchards. And it's fermented with both Saison yeast and then Brett as well. It's got a really dry finish to it, and then this kick of apple right at the end. Some Nelson Sauvin hops in there that really add to it, and the Brett gives a really kind of big fruity note to the beer as well. It's
John, how did you guys at Bee United, you're the importers based in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
How do you find, you know, the breweries like this? He's fairly new.
Yeah,
he's kind of untraditional.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Wild Beer Company, we're talking about a brewery that's, you know, maybe a couple of years old at that. A big part of our mission statement is, you know, that if there's a new, exciting new brewery in the world, we want to know about it. And, you know, being a very competitive beer market, we want to know about it first. We have a really fantastic, touch wood, we've had a lot of success in getting some really incredible breweries. And our number one priority is making sure that we support those breweries well and represent those breweries well in the U.S. But if we find someone like the Wild Beer Company, which has really set the bar very, very, very high for innovation and being a forward-looking brewery in England, I mean, that's something that we absolutely want to represent in the U.S. and bring to the U.S. market. Personally, my main area of sort of R&D is the U.K. So I go over to England several times a year, meeting with new brewers, new breweries, just trying to keep my boots on the ground to get a sense of the scene. I will say that England, like a lot of sort of traditional old world beer countries, is really in the midst of a revolution, a craft revolution. There's hundreds and hundreds of new breweries opening up in England, taking a lot of their cues from sort of the American craft movement of the past decade or so.
Where'd the name come from?
Kind of the whole idea for the brewery came from a beer, and we wanted to make this dark beer that we call Modus Operandi. Which is a blended old ale that we age with Brett for at least 3 or 4 months in both bourbon and red wine casks.
So wild, like wild. Cool.
And so it's the wild yeast side of things, and then we've kind of taken that forward, and one of the beers that we're hoping to bring over to the US in the next couple of months is a beer called Somerset Wild, where we've captured some yeast from the local orchards, yeast and bacteria from the local orchards, and we've done our own kind of slightly unusual take on a sour.
Cool. Can't wait to try it.
Yeah. Hey, so your background, you were working as a commercial brewer, right?
The two of us who set the brewery up together, my business partner, Brett, funnily enough, is...
he's Brett and you're Cooper, so it's pretty perfect for the mission statement.
Absolutely.
That's funny.
That's where we started. And
that was a good one, John.
You're all night, folks.
That's not a joke.
So, Brett is a Californian. He came over to the UK 7 or 8 years ago, naturally to capture a woman. That's not going to go down well in this room.
Well, we should say he was a foreign exchange student in Ireland and met a woman from England, and they had a long-distance relationship for a long time. It's a very beautiful story. He's a lovely man.
I think he actually wanted to capture. I think we're all...
Yeah. Oh, no, he definitely captured.
Physically capture.
Yeah, he did well. But he came over in the first few months he was in the UK. He couldn't get a job because of visa restrictions, so he just started homebrewing. And he loved doing that. He was a chef by background, and he worked for a year or so as a chef, and then went knocking on brewery doors saying, can I come and clean your casks? Can I get involved? And he worked hard and worked his way up. But the two of us had ideas that kind of went beyond what we'd ever be allowed to do in someone else's brewery. The only way for us to kind of fulfill our dreams and ambitions and creative urges was to go it alone and do our own thing.
Well, you know, in the room right now with you, Andrew, from our New York City Beer Week there are some great women in beer. They are all part of a Sweet Fire collaboration with Empire. And Anne, why don't you introduce your colleagues, because we can start. I think you guys might have a lot to say about what Andrew's doing, because some of the best minds in beer in New York City sitting here right now.
Couldn't agree with you more. These are some of my favorite people in New York. Got Jen from Spring Lounge, Catherine from Blind Tiger, Olivia from Empire, Haley from Tap Room. They can all, you know, tell you a lot more about themselves than I can, but I just had such a blast.
So have any of you at your, between Gingerman, Spring Lounge, Blind Tiger, and Taproom 307, have you guys had a wild beer company, either on draft or at bottles?
Yeah, we started with the Somerset Saison last year. Did very well for us. Like you said, it's got a little bit of tartness, but none of the wild yeast. It's a little more approachable, so it was a great intro.
How do you position it to your customers? Because it's from England, it's a little different. I mean, do you think that it has an advantage because it's from Europe, or do you think that it has a disadvantage because it's non-American craft?
I think that people, at least my clientele in the beginning, they weren't as experimental as they've become. But now people are going for the sours and the more out there beer styles. In the beginning, I sold a lot of lagers and wheats, and now we've expanded on that as our customer base becomes more educated and more interested. So I find when I put these experimental beers on there, people gravitate towards them naturally.
And I think you said a good point was about it being sort of an intro segue. You know, some people that aren't quite ready for something so sour and mouth puckering and crazy, but can kind of get a little bit of this. There's similarities between a lot of these beers and certain wines that people are used to drinking, and it's a good kind of intro.
Yeah, and a Saison is the perfect style for the Saison. It's a perfect style for that kind of thing, because we, similar to Taproom, we have that sort of middle of the road clientele that they want to be experimental, but they're not sure. And a Saison is just fruity enough, just tart enough, and not super out there.
That so, Jen, this is Haley Jensen from Taproom 307, and Jen T. I only know you as Jen T. What's your full name?
Jen Torriero.
Jen Torriero from Spring Lounge, and Catherine, what's your last name?
Kyle.
And we know Olivia Sirio.
Yeah.
So, for you, Jen and Haley and Catherine, this is your first time on the show.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what you're doing at Spring Lounge. You know, you're the GM.
Yes.
And what's the beer program like?
Well, so our beer program, I consider us to be a little bit more of an introductory beer program. We try to cover the gamut of the beer styles, hit all the basic styles, and then throw on either a couple rotating seasonals or a couple rotating a little bit more out there, something either like barley wines or sour ales, old ales, that kind of stuff. And for me, I think the most important thing about a place like Spring Lounge in the beer community is that we're not a go-to place for the people that are already in the know. We're more of the kind of place where people just happen to be hanging out, and they get excited about all these different beers that we have on, and so they're willing to try new things. We're sort of opening the door of craft beer to a different kind of clientele. So that's sort of what my goal is to always have things that are accessible enough, yet different enough to, you know, entice people to, you know, stop drinking their Bud Light and move over to something else.
And then there's Blind Tiger, which is
well, Catherine,
quite a
come on.
Program.
We've had, I think, Dave Broderick has been on like at least once a month
times,
for years. But tell us about you. So you're there running the show. You're the GM, right?
That's right. I'm the GM.
And everyone kind of knows what you guys do, but tell us in your words what the beer program's like.
Well, the Blind Tiger, we have a really, really astute clientele. So I have to play to, you know, to their strengths. If I put a beer on before it's ready, I'm going to hear about it. It's going to hurt the brewery. So I really try hard to, yes, be open to anything, but also let people understand that there's really not that much room for error when you're on at the Blind Tiger, because you're going to be drank by people who know the difference between good beer and not so good beer. And you want to always be in that good beer quality column. But that said, I also, you know, just like the Spring Lounge, it's important to me to have accessible beer on the board. I want someone who can walk in there who's never had a craft beer before to be able to come up, have a, you know, small conversation with the bartender and wind up with a beer that they're interested in that'll hopefully drive them further down the craft beer avenue. But also, you know, I'm always looking for the, you know, the new stuff, the esoteric stuff. I really want to, you know, hit the old classics too. I bring beers back that people haven't, you know, been thinking about for a few years, but they're also how we got where we are now. So I really balance, you know, I try to balance about 3 or 4 different ideas on the board. And luckily I have 28 lines to do that with. So, You know, that's the general philosophy behind what I do on the report.
What are some things that you have on tonight?
What do I have on tonight?
Because I might go there later.
I think we all might go there later.
Yeah.
That's right. I think we have the Eastern Standard by Peekskill on, which is a fantastic drinking beer. Actually, I saw that keg blow in 3.5 hours on a Friday night, and it was a half barrel. And I was blown away by how fast that went. So that's something that's on right now. We don't have any of the Empire Sweetfire on.
Because you crushed it.
Because it
sold out.
Flying out. Although it is on at the Spring Lounge right now.
It's on, yeah, the Ginger Man too.
We stashed a few so we can put them out here and there over time.
And that was your special collaboration. So Olivia, why don't you say hello and tell us about the project? Because
yeah, it was so much fun. You know, these are some of my favorite people, not only that I work with and sell beer to, but just to hang out with and enjoy a beer with and talk about it. And you know, we all get along so well, and it was kind of a natural partnership, and we've got to bring them up to the brewery and entertain them, and we had so much fun together, and it just kind of brought us all even closer. And we got to brew this beer, and I think the girl, you know, I brewed at Empire for 1.5 years, so I was so happy to go back and be able to do that. I miss the brewery very much, but I think it was really cool for the girls to get in there, and it's a very manual brewing system, so you really have to learn the intricate ins and outs of the entire process, and I think that was a really cool experience for everyone collectively, and the beer came out
100%.
Really good.
Oh my goodness,
it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. There's like a little kick in there.
Well, we used chilies, yeah, chocolate chili, Imperial stout cocoa nibs, and like a blend of chilies. Yeah. It was so, as we were brewing it, you know, of course, there's a group of people brewing in the middle of the day, so all the customers that are eating there are kind of like, what's happening? What's that? We open the door, the entire place smells like a mole. I mean, it's rich and chocolatey and spicy and peppers. I mean, it was just, oh my gosh, we were all like,
great.
Just get fermented already. We want to try it.
I tried out the tank a few times. I couldn't wait. Yeah. I just was like, is it ready yet? It was so good. It's so good.
So whose idea was it?
It was, like I said, actually, I believed we could credit David for the idea. We were all at an event at Brooklyn Brewery, and he was like, you should all come up and brew a beer together. And then we kind of collaborated with our brewmaster, Tim, and came up with the style and then developed the recipe.
Dave Kataleski from Empire.
Yeah. We were at the Brooklyn Brewery event last October that the governor put on. It's a really nice event, and we were all having a really great time, and we were just standing in a circle like, we should do something together. This is a great group right here. So.
And one of the things about, I think, which connected Empire to these guys, I mean, Empire and David, and they've been doing so much incredible work to sort of showcase New York beer and, you know, New York agricultural products and farms, and they're building this incredible brewery upstate right now. So to get to go there and see what's happening and see all the local, you know, where they get their meat from, where they get their vegetables from, where this, you know, malt comes from. I mean, the peppers we use are from David's garden, you know, so it's just to be able to be a part of that, and it stemmed from being a Taste of New York Oktoberfest. We feel really fortunate to support like the state and, you know, these small companies and these small farms. It's just fantastic.
We have a whole show to talk about all these things, but I want to bring it back to Andrew Cooper, also from Wild Beer Company. Andrew, what do you think of this use of a pepper spice in a beer?
Yeah.
Have you done anything like that at Wild Beer Company?
We haven't used peppers as such, but we have. We do play around with different spices. One of the beers that's available in the U.S. market is a beer called Bliss, which we is kind of like a amber saison. And it's brewed with some roasted apricots, or apricots, as my American brewer tells me.
Are you enamored with your American brewer, buddy?
Oh, I love him. Yeah. I love him.
This guy must get so much at the brewer.
His name's Brett. Come on.
And we.
But
we,
I thought you, this beautiful, you know, pastoral setting in Somerset with apples and things isn't. You guys run around. What is the land of summer people? Do you guys know that? I mean, I googled Somerset.
It sounds great after the winter. I'll go to the land of summer people
Welsh
any day.
The Welsh and the Saxons were there, and it was going back to the invasion of the Saxons. This is like
we've had the wettest winter ever. Half the county's underwater. It's a pretty spectacular place right now. All you can see is like a sea that's taken over. It's amazing. But we have an American brewer. We like to give him lots of. We like to have lots of banter with him about all the things, but he's a great brewer, and we're making beers with some unusual ingredients. We use some spices in this beer called Bliss that we brew with the apricots, and I think you can do a lot with spice. It adds really nice depth of flavor and intricacies into a beer that we love playing with that kind of thing.
How did you guys? I'm calling you the. what are you guys? The women in beer, but the Sweet Fire collaboration.
Sure.
Sweet Fire collaboration.
We'll take it. Yeah. Well, why not?
How did you guys pick your ingredients and flavors for this beer?
Well, you know, we worked with Tim, and we kind of, like, described of what we were hoping to get out of the flavor, and him being the master brewer that he is, was like, this is exactly what we're going to need to achieve this, and we kind of went back and forth several times, like, throughout several months, actually, of planning this actual style and rollout. We wanted it to be during New York City Beer Week, and everything was, you know, collaboratively kind of decided, but yeah,
through, like, the longest email chain ever.
It was a very funny email chain.
Five very busy people trying to attempt to
we started with the idea of an imperial stout, and then we just kind of threw on, what about chilies, and you were like, an egg cream, and we were just kind of playing with so many ideas.
It was all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm very happy with how it ended. It's delicious. I want to have it with the chili that Empire serves with like 16 different kinds of meat. It's just
won the chili cook-off at Spring Lounge 2 times.
Well, it's funny because how we were thinking of the name, and we're just, you know, obviously in the very long car ride up to Syracuse, like just saying any and everything that could come to our mind. And as soon as we got there, we tried the sausage that they do with like molasses. It's like a spicy sort of sweet sausage that they're famous for and have been on multiple shows for, called Sweet Fire. And literally they're like, oh, it's called Sweet Fire. And every single one of our head was like, oh, well, duh. There
I
it is,
thought he was, you know, talking about the beer. I was like, oh, we named it. That's a great name.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, let's just go with it.
Yeah.
Haley, so talking about traveling to places like England, we're also talking about upstate New York. So I think that there's great places. There's so many breweries in New York State. Was that your first time at Syracuse?
It was, yeah. I mean, I'm from the Midwest, so I don't know New York that well. So yeah, it was really cool to go and visit them. And like Anne mentioned, the slow food, they really participate in that as well.
Yeah.
At Empire, which was really cool. My husband is a chef. He's the chef at Tap Room, actually. So, you know, I'm always interested in what people are doing with their food, especially pairing it with beer. So I thought it was really cool to see how they ran their program.
That's great. Well, we got a chance to meet all the guests on the show tonight. We're going to have a couple more segments coming up. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
I broke her heart today. Didn't know what to say. She sat there and cried. And I broke my own heart today. Blocked from streaming down my scarred face. And oh, they say the heart is proud. And oh, to mend a broken heart. And I broke hers with the tables turned. It hurts much more.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Right at Roberta's in Bushwick and heritageradionetwork.org. Check it out. You can be a member. There's a lot of things going on. There's some special parties coming up. And I think that in April, if you join, you're going to get a free Pig Island ebook. But nobody else knows about that yet except for me. All right. So here we are. We've got a great panel tonight. We've got the Sweet Fire collaboration. We got everybody. Say your names, all the women from the Sweet Fire collaboration and your affiliation in beer.
Ambassera, and I don't know, most people call me Ann Likes Beer from my Facebook, but I work at the Ginger Man.
All right, Jen?
Jen Torriero, I am the GM over at the Spring Lounge.
I'm Catherine Kyle, the GM at the Blind Tiger.
I'm Olivia Sirio, the brand manager at Empire Brewing Company.
And I'm Haley Jensen, the beer sommelier at Tap Room 307.
So we've been waiting to have these ladies on the show for a while. They made a special collaboration up at Empire in Syracuse, New York. John Lundbaum's here, Be United, with one of his special beer guys, Andrew Cooper from Wild Beer Company.
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
Welcome back, guys. So we just had a little break, and we're back. We tasted a number of Wild Beer Company beers. We tasted the Empire Sweet Fire collaboration. And Jen from Spring Lounge, now we're getting into like some deeper stuff, like the cool craft things that you guys have. What did you bring for us?
So, in addition to the Sweet Fire, I had brought a bottle of the Firestone Walker Wookiee Jack, which I brought it because it's similar in flavor profile, but not
really, actually even a little bit into the Sweet Fire. But, well, it's just, I'm really into dark beers, but I'm really into dark beers that are a little bit more interesting, have something else going on besides just their, oh, they're roasty and malty and chocolatey. And so this is one of my favorite beers that has come out in the past few years. It's just, the rye adds a spiciness. It's a black rye IPA for anyone that doesn't know. And it's,
well, let's taste it. And one thing that I'm going to say, ladies, but all of you ladies have in common is that you're all working with some of the best beers that are coming into New York, as well as being part of this collaboration. So
yeah, we're really fortunate in that respect.
So why don't you tell us, besides the Firestone, what are some other beers that are in New York right now that you serve or you aspire to serve?
I think the Peak Scales guys, we just can't get enough of their beers. Chief's doing some incredible. I'm actually going up there next Thursday to brew with them for a day. And Newburgh Brewery has been doing some really great stuff. Who do you have on right now?
I was so excited to get Bell's. Like, I'm from the Midwest, so I was like, they made it. So that was pretty cool.
I thought the Bell's rollout was actually really cool. I'm not from Michigan. I never tried the beer. But I thought the way that it was done in New York City, it was really exciting. We had Larry Bell on the show, and he was at a couple bars we knew, like Barcade.
Isn't he funny?
It was
Larry's a character. Rollout.
It kind of felt like its own beer week, you know?
Growing up in Chicago, I mean, I think, you know, Haley has similar experience. Myself growing up in Chicago, especially in college, I probably drank my weight in Bell's every few weeks. Really, it was such an important beer in the craft scene at that time. Love having it here.
Wow. All right.
By the way, about the Wookiee Jack that's going around now, you know, black IPA, one thing I find really interesting about the style, it really sort of developed on the west coast of the U.S., but has made its way back to England now. I mean, it's funny, in the previous segment when you were mentioning travel and you were asking Haley about travel, Haley actually used to live in England and work in the craft beer scene there. I think her and Andrew probably have about 3 dozen friends in common.
Yeah, we just discussed that on the break. I'm like, did you know I used to work there? He's like, what?
Well, why don't you tell us? Well, tell us where you used to work in England and some of the peers you have in common.
And also, I mean, are you guys... Andrew, you must be seeing black IPAs at this point. Haley, when you were there, you were probably starting to see some of the American influence trickle overseas.
Yeah,
tell us, where did you work in England? And talk about some of their friends in common, because we're trying to find some common ground here.
It's very easy. I mean, we just mentioned on the break, I used to work at Utobeer, which is a retail store in Borough Market, the birthplace of Porter. It's just a really cool scene to, it's very ancient, but also very cutting edge. I was there when we were rolling out some beers from Thornbridge, which I'm pouring their Raven Black IPA from England right now.
I love that beer.
Another
great
segue.
I may have
had one for lunch today, yeah.
or two.
Yeah, but so that's a very well-known beer destination.
You're very funny today.
Oh, thank you very much. This is actually my second black IPA.
I think you're
day
playing
right
it
now.
Up for the ladies, John.
Come now, Jimmy. Jimmy, be nice. Be nice.
There's also a really great pub there called The Rake where I worked as well. It's mutual owners, but I'm sure we all know Mike and Rich and Eddie and Gina. We mentioned Melissa Cole, who I used to be an assistant to for tasting.
Oh, Melissa, the writer?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Her book, just about her book. She's really great.
Oh, yeah? What's her book?
The scene's moving on pretty quick. And I think it's gone from, I don't know how long ago you were there, but every year now it moves on and there's more and more breweries opening. There's a lot of influences from the US throughout UK, the new wave of UK breweries. And we're seeing more and more, you know, black IPAs at the moment are kind of to a penny almost. You know, every brewery does one and aspires to do the next great one. And There's loads going on, and the UK market is just moving at such a pace. It's incredible at the moment.
Are you guys getting any kind of pushback from the sort of traditionalists and people that, what is that? It's funny that English seem to be very, very connected to their beer, rightfully so, but what's that being like?
I think that for a long time we've been held back by that tradition in some ways, that in the UK beer is still perceived as being yellow and fizzy or brown and flat in still a really large percentage of the country. But every week now there's new breweries opening, there's new bars opening, the scene has really taken off, and yeah, there's definitely the traditionalists are fighting back. I read an article at the weekend where someone was saying, what's this craft beer stuff? I just want to be able to go into the pub and buy a pint of best bitter, and now there's hoppy beers everywhere and this is not what I want. And so yeah, there's going to be an element of that, but I think the momentum's there now. It's moving forward, and people just want new and interesting and exciting and flavorful, and all those things have become massively important.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Well, God love the guys from Camera. They're definitely the traditionalists that come in, and they're just like, what do you have on cask? And you'll name two or three things you've got, and then they're like, nope, and they'll leave because they've tried them before. You know, there are those kind of old guys who just, well, I mean, not old, no
and
offense.
I love those guys,
but,
too.
Yeah, and but a lot of the young people, it's just like the scene here where they come in and they're like, where's that? I've never seen that beer. Do you have anything new? You know, and I mean, I got to meet, you know, Evan before he started the Colonel and see that explode, and it's just as cutting edge there.
Well, the only thing I would have to add is, you know, it's often portrayed as sort of a conflict between sort of the old mainstay Camera people in Great Britain and sort of this new wave of craft brewers, and I think there's actually a lot more common ground. London is a bit of an exception. Obviously, Andrew's in Somerset, several hours from London, but London is an exception. As of 5 years ago, I think there were fewer than 10 breweries in London, maybe only five or six, and now there's about 50. So it's very, very small brewers. It is people who are embracing sort of craft, but it's not like they're pushing out the old traditional breweries. London, I talked to actually Pete Brown, you know, the beer writer, said, you know, it's not so much that London is having a brewing renaissance. It's more that London's just catching up to where it should be. It's really a city that's had a lot of issues with brewers. In the Midlands, in sort of more the north of England, you know, approaching sort of the Manchester, Sheffield, Cheshire area, you do still see a lot more of the more traditional British breweries making incredible, beautiful cask product for their local pubs. And it's not necessarily a conflict.
I think there are so many pubs in the UK. They're everywhere. So there's still a massive movement. There's still tons of traditional beer being made, tons of traditional beer being enjoyed. And I think most of the new wave of breweries, they're not kind of cask beer haters. They just want to do something more and educate and inspire people to try new things and say that beer, we're just trying to change people's perceptions a little bit, that there are so many styles and not styles of different beer and
the
flavors.
Not styles are my favorite.
Yeah, well, but I think to be honest, we only make the not styles. So yeah.
Yeah, I just didn't mean like, you know, old versus new, and there's some kind of war. But it's just, do you feel like you're really going in there and like breaking down to it? Like, you know, has it evolved enough where you feel like, oh, this is like great, we're all being, you know, welcomed and it's great? Or you're like, okay, I'm banging down doors, I'm pounding the pavement, I have to explain my style, tell people, like, still educate people about it? Or is it like, oh, we get it?
Are you selling more beer in England or in America?
Yeah,
More beer in England. Yep. But probably for us, in time, America is growing really, really well for us. It's becoming, it's an exciting opportunity, and let's be honest, there's a hell of a lot more people in America than there is in Britain. So, more and more every week, there's new bars opening up, there's new places that want our beer. We are constantly being asked how, you know, by people how they get our beer, and we work with some fantastic small distributors all over the UK, and with some really passionate people who are going out there and are educating people about what they can get and how beer can be different, and that, you know, this doesn't have to be what you think it is. It can be something else.
Let's flip it back to the States. So first, if you're on Twitter at @beer_sessions, I want to know, what is the land of summer people? Especially if you're in England. No, Garrett Baker is one of our regular listeners in England. Write us and let us know, what the hell is the land of summer people? You got this rich history there, yeah. But coming back to New York, upstate New York is agricultural region, kind of like the way Somerset is. You know,
when he was describing, or when you were describing the landscape of the brewery, I was like, that kind of sounds similar to upstate New York. And I'm just picturing brewers frolicking around in fields with like little lambs. And
it usually happens after 3 a.m., but it happens.
And like hop flower crowns.
But so you know, Syracuse, New York.
Yeah.
This is like a special part of New York State. There's so many local ingredients that you guys are starting to use. What are some local ingredients that Empire is using?
Well, we're so lucky. We're surrounded by farmers that are making great small-time agricultural products that we get to use at our restaurant. And I think we have partnership with close to 60 different farmers that are supplying us products for our menu, because our brew pub Empire has a really great restaurant component. And you were talking about slow food earlier. We're one of the first businesses in New York State, I believe, to be recognized as a slow food the snail of approval. So you know, we're in the heart of New York. It's about 4 hours north of New York City. It's as central on the dot in the map as you can get. And we're just surrounded by, you know, small towns and pasture lands that are just covered with farms that are making great. I mean, we have a Kobe beef farm across the street from where the new brewery is growing. You can throw a pebble at it. So it's, you know, we're just surrounded by great. That's
like
the biggest
industry.
This summer,
if I want to go upstate, it's worth a trip to Empire.
It's a great weekend trip. You can hit Syracuse. A bunch of breweries. You can go to Cooperstown
and they'll have a tree house that you can sleep in.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you could do a beer bar crawl, you know, or a brewery crawl. You know, you could hit a bunch of them up there and make it really worth your while.
All right. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I want to actually ask you guys a little bit about what you guys actually do day to day, because people want to know what you do for your jobs, because you all work at really great places. So let's take a break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's March 11th, 2014. We're talking some very cool people. Wild Beer Company from England and Sweet Fire Collaboration, some women who work in beer in New York. So let's ask, I think we've covered a lot of bases today. We talked about Somerset, England and Syracuse, New York and collaborations and all this cool stuff. But there's some very interesting people in the room who have very interesting jobs. Some of them are the big decision makers for beer in New York City. So let's start with Catherine Kyle. She's the GM of Blind Tiger. Come on. What do you do? Like a typical day, give us like a rundown of what you do in your day. Because GM sounds fancy, but you really have to do a lot of hard work, don't you?
No, it's all about getting the work done. What you do, first of all, is you come in and you probably do the banks. You probably sit there and make sure that there is money so that the bar can run. So that's, you know, brass tacks, like, you know, you got to do that. And then you move on to, all right, you know, you're looking at the draft board and you're making sure that, you know, everything that's on there is actually pouring. Maybe something kicked. Maybe a bartender didn't change it. Maybe it, you know, got written up wrong. You're looking at changing, like, spelling errors on the board. That's, you know, that's something that I'm constantly doing. You go from that to thinking about, you know, all right, what beer do we need in for the next few days? And so you look at your lines, you look at your lineup, you think about where you want it to be, and then you start looking at maybe craft inventory. Maybe you've got some reps who are coming in that you're going to find out about their new products that are coming in, or their seasonals, or just their regular stuff that they want you to order that, you know, is good. So then, you know, maybe you'll make a beer order or two. After that, maybe you have a plumber coming to fix some plumbing issue.
Like the guy that tried to rip our toilet out of the floor.
There are constant problems with the toilet.
So like it's and at Gingerman, what are some of the things that you have to do?
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually really fortunate in what I, because it's more based around the customers and the beer. So quality control, beer ordering, 2 days a week, it feels kind of like a chess game, you know, going in the morning and get everything set up for what we need for the next week. I would say we have 70 lines. I mean, it's a lot of moving pieces.
What, did you work today?
No, but I will be there tomorrow, and okay. I was there yesterday.
So what are you going to do tomorrow when you go in,
First thing, go into the walk-in and do a quick once-over of everything that's there, figure out what we need for the weekend, figure out what we need for St. Patrick's Day, figure out what we need to, you know, to back up on our certain lines. We have certain dedicated lines for a cider or a fruit beer or, you know, a smoked beer or a pepper beer, and so we want to make sure that those don't go off. And then I you know, set up the bar and taste and make sure everything tastes like it's, you know, it's supposed to. And we don't want to serve anything. We clean our lines religiously. But every once in a while, you have something kind of tough and, you know, you want to make sure that your Pilsner doesn't taste like a wheat beer and et cetera. And so, you know, I take that very seriously. Like Catherine said about spelling, it's funny because everybody knows I'm completely insane when it comes to detail. So I will make sure everything in there, every picture is tilted, everything is spelled right. If it's brewed in North Carolina over Colorado, it says North Carolina. Like, we're very upfront, and I want to make sure, you know, we can educate best as possible because we have that platform and we should really be using it. It's great.
So, like, tomorrow, what time do you open the bar?
We open the bar at 11:30.
And if I went in tomorrow 11:30.
Oh, I'd be so happy.
I sat down.
Come on in, baby. I don't think you've been to visit me yet, so.
What would you serve me? Look, like, what would you... How would you, you know, present?
Well, my menus, first thing with that, absolutely, menus. First off, menu. I want to make sure that you know, what are you in the mood for? It's very much like entertaining. We have a party. People know each other. I introduce my regulars. We don't have TVs on. We don't have Wi-Fi. It's a throwback. You know, it's an old fashioned. You come in, you talk to people. It's a, you know, an old kind of old school tavern. It's my favorite part of where I work. And you know, I introduce my regulars. People have been there. You know, I have regulars that live in England that come every single year for 5 years. You know, and it's just, it's such a great meeting place. You know, obviously it changes a little bit at night. We're a very packed happy hour crowd. Mm-hmm. We get really, really busy at night. But in the daytime, it's just really comfortable. And so it's about what you're in the mood for. What do you feel like? What do you want to eat? What do you want to talk about? You know,
you might be my favorite bar. If I'm drinking my beer and I'm down to, like, at what point in the cup do you ask me for a refill?
You play it by ear. You know, you just get eye contact. You get a feel for people. And I think without the distractions of 25 TVs and blasting this and that, you get a feel for people. You know where they're at. You know how long they're taking. And then as
but
you get
would
to
know
people,
that I would probably have more than one beer.
I mean, I hope you have one more than
you,
one
Jimmy?
Beer. I'm not letting
you out
that easy.
Yeah, maybe a couple.
All right, and Jen, Spring Lounge, too. I haven't been there in years, but you also, each of you have unique jobs, too, which is kind of cool, right?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the most unique things about Spring Lounge is we're one of the last bars in New York City to open at 8 a.m. We're grandfathered in. We've been around since the 30s. So we have one of those old liquor licenses where, and we have quite the crowd at 8 a.m. And it's really great. It's actually one of my favorite times of day to be at the Spring Lounge because you meet so many interesting people, whether it's people traveling from overseas who have nothing to do that day except have a beer at 8 in the morning, or, you know, people who work the overnight shifts, cops, firemen, hotel workers, whatever. So for us, for me as a manager, sometimes I have to go in at 8 a.m. to help take in deliveries, to, you know, troubleshoot things, to, you know, sometimes I get that 7 a.m. phone call from the bartender who just went in to set up, who's like, you know, the boiler is leaking water all over the floor, or the cold box is warm. A lot of being a GM is putting out fires constantly, whether they're small fires or big fires. That's a lot of your job, and you have to be able to be very flexible. Flexible in the sense of you could be in complete emergency mode 1 minute, and then the next minute, you know, a really good customer of yours could want to stop and talk to you for 2 seconds, and you need to be able to stop, collect yourself, and be like, oh, hi, how are you? Oh, my God, it's so good to see you. That's a really important part of the job, too, is just putting on your many game faces and just being the person that you need to be at that moment.
Well, at 8 in the morning, what are the top drinks that you sell?
Definitely Bloody Marys. But actually, you know, it really depends. We we sometimes get those people who are on their way to work, and they just come in, and they walk in, and they're like, give me a shot of Jameson. And they just slug back a quick one, and then they you know, put their $10 bill on the bar, and then they walk out the door and head into the train station. There's definitely those people, but we get a lot of freelance workers who just, they come in with their newspaper, or they come in with their computers, they're working, and they sit with a beer in our front windows, which, you know, our bar gets a lot of sunlight, so you don't feel like you're sitting in a seedy bar.
It's a healthy bar.
Yeah.
It's one of the best
healthy places to drink at 8 a.m.
It's actually my favorite place to drink in the afternoon.
It's the best people watching bar.
Cheers to the corner of Spring Lounge at Spring Street and Mulberry, right? And then Haley Jensen, Taproom 307. What's your, like, typical? When are you working next?
Well, I'm working tonight. It's trivia night, and I play every week. My team is Haley's Comets. But I basically do kind of the same thing, a lot of troubleshooting. I told my friend a long time ago, I'm like, I'll never be a GM, because if a toilet falls off the wall, it's your problem. And, like, that has literally happened. It was a sink. But that is part of the job. I usually have a long line of reps at the bar, chatting, eating lunch. Our food is really good. I'm really proud of that. Like I said, my husband's the chef there. So that's really fun to, you know, do the food and beer together. And another hobby we have is homebrewing. So this one I wanted to bring today because it has cocoa nibs, just like Sweetfire. But instead of a spicy kick at the end, it actually has mint.
It's nice. It's very nice. And you guys, you're an award-winning homebrewer, too, you and your husband, Steven, right?
Yeah, we just got a second place at Homebrew Alley for this beer. We got a first for our cider and a first for our Berliner Weiss, which won Best in Show. So
is that what we drank at your wedding? Because that was awesome.
Yeah, homebrewings are, I mean, I love what I do at Taproom, but homebrewing is a real shared passion.
I want to say that it's great having you guys on the show. And everyone's always talking about who are the women in beer. I was like, you guys are women in beer, and you guys are serious professionals. And I definitely hope to have you guys on the show again. But let's also wrap it up with Andrew. So, Andrew, Wild Beer Company, what do you do every day, man? What's a typical day besides traveling in America?
Yeah, we don't do a lot of traveling to America. We do a lot of stuff around the UK. But we're a small brewery, and we're pretty much at capacity, so most of my time is spent juggling what we're going to brew and where it's going to go and working out the logistics of it all and that kind of thing, and as well as plenty of quality control and developing our products and making sure that
they're as good as they can be. Let's say tomorrow, we were in England right now. Tomorrow morning, you got up. What would you do first?
I'd go in and we'll talk through the day's issues and what we've got to do and where beer's going out to that day, and we'll work out a sales plan and we'll work out what we've got in stock and we'll take it from there. I mean, one of the great things I've got to do is next week when I get back in the country, the first major job is to taste about 24 barrels of our modus operandi and work out which ones are going to go into the blend that's going to be coming out to the US in April.
Doesn't our job suck so much?
Yeah. Talk about really, the tough job.
Take one for the team. We all take one for the team.
And for the record, in the US, it's modus vivendi.
No. Apologies, John.
No worries.
Is that what we're drinking now, the last beer, John?
No, Jimmy, you have the Bliss in your glass. That's the apricot beer. Modus operandi, modus vivendi here in the States went around.
But the Bliss, does everyone have the Bliss?
I think everyone has Haley's homebrew right now.
I have the homebrew, but you just poured me the Bliss. Andrew, tell us about the Bliss again one more time. This is pretty neat.
So the Bliss is an amber saison made with apricots, and then it's spiced up with some cafe lime leaves and some cardamom.
When do you put the apricots in?
They go in right at the end of the boil. They're roasted off, and then they go in. They've got a nice bit of caramelization to them, which really helps, I think. And then we ferment with the saison yeast and then finish it off with some Brett as well.
All right. Well, guys, we're going to make a few announcements before we sign off. Our good friends, Bearded Ladies, they're hosting a Beer Geek Trivia tomorrow, March 13th, with Finback Brewing at Glorietta Baldi. And cheers to you guys.
March 12th.
Well, all good. Thank you. Whenever it is, check them out. Bearded Ladies, they got a lot of good stuff. This says tomorrow, March 13th, but when you hear their show, it might be April. Okay. Also, a cool promotion is going on with some East Village and Lower East Side bars right now. Jimmy's Number 43, Burp Castle, Eastwood, Malt and Mold, ABC Beer Company, and DBA East Village are doing the Liquid Lent, 40 Days of Beer, inspired by a blogger who decided to live on beer for 43 days. Check that out. And in closing, I'd like to thank our sponsors at greatbrewers.com who helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. Got a lot of guests on the show. Thanks to Andrew and John, Olivia, Catherine, Jen, Ann, Haley, and thanks so much for joining me on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. And thanks to our producers, Maggie Side and Justin Kennedy. Happy birthday. And our engineer, Evan DeVito. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Yeah.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.